10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
More news, more news. Day and night around the clock, it's your news. You get it all when you set your dial to serving every damn night.
My name is Peter Thiel. I'm in for Walter M. Sterling right here on Sterling Every Damn Night. Walter is off tonight. He called me late last week and he said, Peter, I need Sunday night off. Can you fill in? And I said, of course I can. Because there's big issues that I want to speak with you about. It's called Red Dye Number 3, and it's pure magic. So Red Dye Number 3 was one of the last things the Biden administration did before taking off, besides pardoning all of Biden's family members. Lord knows they didn't commit any crimes. Okay, so Red Dye Number 3, pure magic, has been banned from lipstick and ointments for like 35 years. So if you're a gentleman or a lady of a certain age, a certain level of maturity, you have been in contact at Red Dye Number 3, maybe after a date, taking a gal to the door when you're like 17 years old, giving her a smoocherino before her parents throw things at you. Yes, that's been banned for 35 years, but it was in our foods. It was too poisonous for you to smooch a girl or a girl to have put it on her lips or a lady. I'm not a biologist. I don't know how to explain that. But here's some of the food items that Red Dye Number 3 was in. And again, it's pure magic. Brock's candy corn. Yes, candy corn. That waxy, wonderful food. Pez candy, assorted fruit. Jelly bellies, hot tamales. Oh, this one's crushing because I picked up a package of this probably about 3 weeks ago. Entenmann's Little Bites Party Cake Mini Muffins. Have you ever had those mini muffins? They're pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Betty Crocker was brought into this with the poison dye as well. It's not necessarily Betty Crocker's fault or anyone else's. The Food and Drug Administration approved it for consumption into our bodies while saying that it was poison to put into ointment and lipstick. Okay. So Betty Crocker red decorating ice cream or icing. Yep, banned now. It's banned. And they have 2 years to get rid of it. So your opportunity to go out and enjoy some wonderful poison in your body is still here. And I have some more items here that you'll want to go pick up at the Walmart or Aldi or wherever you go and buy your food. Fruit by the foot. Some varieties. Frozen desserts. Some strawberry-flavored ice cream. Nerds Bomb Pop Popsicles. In your beverages. By the way, I really love both of these. True Moo Strawberry Whole Milk. True Moo. Have you ever had that? It's really good. But here's sort of my go-to. The Nesquik Strawberry Low-Fat Milk. Yeah. Red Dye Number 3. It's poison, apparently. Other products includes a health food item. Morningstar Farms. Veggie Breakfast Original Veggie Bacon Strips. Now, I personally do not eat meat with every meal. I know a lot of people do, and that's fine. But I'll occasionally pick up the vegetarian, but I get the sausages. And that's pretty good, and it's pretty strong. Oh, by the way, something else, and this is for those of you who make your children, to make them feel like adults, Shirley Temple, maraschino cherries, loaded up with Red Dye Number 3. Publix, and probably other canned mixed fruit. Betty Crocker loaded mashed potatoes. And Vigo saffron yellow rice are some of the products. There are also some varieties of Pop-Tarts that may have red dye number three. And the Food and Drug Administration, they're finally on top of this, finally going through and fixing our problem with red dye number three. Red dye number 40, by the way, is on its way out as soon as RFK Jr. is put as the head of the USDA and all that good stuff that he's going to be doing, which is awesome. If you have comments about the loss of red dye number three, that's why we're here at Sterling every damn night. We're here to hear from you. 855-839-1210 is the number to be right here on WalterSterlingShow.com. That's the website. So awesome. So again, we want to hear your thoughts on that because your thoughts really are more important than my thoughts. I'm Peter Thiel, in for Walter M. Sterling right here on Sterling Every Damn Night. And one of the things that I bring it to the template right here on this show is that I can fill in for Walter and perhaps be a little more insane. So my goal is to be insane. So to bring you fun, to bring you absurdity, and that's what we do here. We're talking about the issues you care about. We're not locked into politics. We're not locked into stuff like that, even though I may bring up some politics and stuff. So coming up after the breaky poo, we're going to be speaking to the good people at JB Bakery. That's Steve and Selena. I can't wait to hear about some of the baked goods ideas they have for us. And that's coming up next. I'm Peter Thiel for Walter Sterling. Sterling, every damn night.
Now, join lesbians in space.
Malibu Barbie is not pretty.
I mean, she's just like basic, you know, like she's just like generic looking. She's like generic pretty.
She's could possibly be the most beautiful person I've ever seen. Seriously.
I just wouldn't be into her is what I'm saying. I don't think she's pretty.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. I saw you giving unsolicited advice to some woman at church today.
Parenting advice, unsolicited, it's what I do best.
Care to share with the class?
I'll give you a little list coming up
on Sterling every damn night.
Best menu ever. Strippers on the loose later. 1210 WPHT. Sterling every damn night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of no good deed goes unpunished when you lend another cop money. Coming up in moments on Sterling every damn night.
Your last chance for red dye number three. Coming up later, the people of Walmart. 1210 WPHT, Sterling every damn night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling every damn night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line.
Sterling every damn night, inspired by sports betting.
Feel the dough, eat the dough, JB Bakery, Selena and Steve, Sterling every damn night.
It is Peter Thiel, Sterling every damn night. Walter Sterling has tonight off, so you get me. You get the wonderful features you've come to know and love on this wonderful radio program, including JB Bakery, Steve and Selena. Hello, how are you guys doing?
Very good, buddy.
Great to be on with you tonight.
It's always good to be with you. I'm always interested in wonderful bakery goods because I'm a gordo. I'm a large man. I'm not so large. I can still get through a door, but baked goods are sort of my sin. I love them.
Well, we take all shapes and sizes at JB Bakery, so you know we always like to say The diets don't count at the bakery, you know? That's like your cheat day. It's your time to grab something to just enjoy life and, you know, just enjoy being at the bakery. So nothing counts up there.
This is the time of year people, in fact, next week will be, or in 2 weeks from today, it'll be a Super Bowl Sunday where people will be getting cakes and pies and whatever for the big game. Is there a specific special order you guys get for the big game?
Oh, my God, Peter. Today was the big game, too. And we're all hyped up. I'm in the Philadelphia area right outside of Philadelphia in Burlington, right across the Burlington-Bristol Bridge. And our customers are super hyped up. They were hyped up for today. And one of our top sellers at the bakery, we like to do pepperoni and cheese roll bread for, you know, a lot of people like that as an appetizer. I got some wonderful Swoop cupcakes. Swoop is like the mascot for the Eagles. So he made a really fun jumbo cupcake with his wings like shouting out. And I've got cupcakes, donuts, and we had a really good run today on green-colored filled cannoli cream. Like green cannoli cream filled cannoli filled. Yeah, that was neat. A lot of people really enjoyed those. So we're going to be doing it even bigger than that, football cakes for the Super Bowl. And we're going to do like a little tailgate party at the bakery with like some fun games and just prizes for people to win. And we got a really awesome, wonderful tie-dye green tie-dye Eagles Let's Hunt t-shirt official for JV Bakery. So that's available, you know, for purchase as well. So there's a lot of fun stuff happening at the bakery for Super Bowl. We're doing it up real big.
Yeah, again, I just look at it, and I look at food, obviously, for football is like center stage. And people forget about the appetizers, but also special cakes and special cupcakes and special things that are themed to either the Eagles or the Kansas City Chiefs that they will go out and grab. Is there something, is there an unusual request you get around these big games?
Well, Lena really likes to do hosting and have parties, and she's really good at getting parties together. So she might be one to answer that question there.
I don't know if there's anything unusual that we get a request for. A lot of people like, even though it's, you know, everyone's hosting for Super Bowl, a lot of people still like to get just a little treat for themselves, so maybe that would be something unusual. And we actually are making these little, they look like footballs. You use the same pan that we use to make our mini egg cakes at Easter. And they're little single serving size vanilla cake covered in ganache. It's really good. So I guess maybe something that would be unusual this time would be something like that. It's just for one person, maybe a little snack while you're getting your party together. But yeah, usually everybody comes in, they're getting something to serve a group, like a big cake or pepperoni bread.
Now, what is the best notice for you guys at the bakery to make up a wonderful cake for whether it's a Super Bowl party coming up in a couple of weeks or, you know, for like a birthday party or a retirement party or something like that?
Well, we could get a cake done pretty quickly. We have a lot of great pictures. We could almost take any kind of like anybody's idea and creations and put it together for a nice custom cake for graduation, wedding. Sometimes around the Super Bowl, we have some really cool ideas that people bring us. They want like for Eagles, for instance, the shape of the eagle, like the actual head of the Eagles fight eagle. That would be something cool that we would do. We'll definitely be doing mini versions, like with cupcakes. They're all stuck together and iced to make it look like an eagle head, like he's soaring. And that would be a definite, like, really good centerpiece for somebody's game day party with all their appetizers around it. Put the cupcake, pull-apart cake in the middle of the centerpiece on the table. And that would create a wonderful Super Bowl day party. So that would be something a little bit different because it's pretty easy to do, but it looks really custom and fun. So that's something we'll be doing.
I like that a whole lot, and I think that makes sense. Have you gotten any requests to make a cake or do cupcakes around the mayor of Philadelphia's misspelling of the word Eagles?
That was hilarious. I just can't get over it. That was a good one. Yeah. Well, you know what? We'll do a package of cupcakes, and I believe she left out the A. So at least she got the LES in there. So a package of cupcakes with the letters, some of the letters missing and scattered. And that would be something fun. I've already seen bakeries doing that. So, I mean, come on, you got to have fun with something like that. There's always something going on when there's a big event like the Super Bowl or the Eagles, and we got to have fun with it, and we got to do like something creative, like grease the poles. I have a plan to make a really like long donut, extra greasy, and filled with buttercream, and put some extra glaze on it, and we're going to call it Grease the Pole Donut. So how about that? That's fun, too.
That's absolutely great. All right, crew, how do we get a hold of JB Bakery? And I know people in the Philadelphia area, New Jersey area are going to probably want to just go there and make sure they're set up with wonderful baked goods for the big game.
Yeah, Peter. Well, you know, a lot of the listeners are Eagles fans because they're from Philly. And I'm right outside of Philly, so the best way to reach us is come right into the store at JB Bakery. We're on High Street, right across from the Burlington-Bristol Bridge, exit 5 off the New Jersey Turnpike, where they can visit us online at jbbakery.com. That's jbbakery.com. And our Instagram page and Facebook, is, of course.
Hey, crew, you guys have a wonderful day. Go Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Fly, Eagles, fly. Thanks, fly, Peter.
Thanks. Hey, thank you very much. Hi, my name is Peter Thiel. I am in for Walter M. Sterling tonight on Sterling Every Damn Night. Walter is had to take the night off. He called me on like Thursday and he said, hey, I need to be away. Can we can you fill in for me? And I said, sure. What do I have going on? Nothing. It's Sunday night. I'm getting ready to move. I'm moving to a new location in life. I'm moving about 250 miles away. And so I move a week, or actually I move on the 7th. My stuff gets loaded on the truck on the 6th. I arrive on the 7th and start my new life in a new city, which is awfully fun. Awfully fun. And I don't know if you've gone through the moving thing lately. It's a lot of reorganizing stuff. This week, I'm going to go through
30 seconds.
Totes and stuff like that and have myself all set up, ready to go with that. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk to Matias. Boom, boom, Hollywood is Sterling every damn night. Oh, it's a hard out at 29:30. All right, very good. Sorry, gang. It's I'm filling in. It's Peter Thiel in for Walter M. Sterling. Bada bing.
Sterling every night, inspired by Mike Jarek.
He's ruined it for all us guys.
Oh, please.
No, let's just he even had the rose petals. He's got this giant ring. He's down on one knee. He's got votive candles in the shape of a heart.
Public Shame Radio. Sterling every damn night.
Boom, boom, Hollywood. Sterling every damn night.
Matias, boom, boom, Hollywood. It's Sterling every damn night. My name is Peter Thiel in for Walter. Matias, let's talk about the Oscars. They're coming, baby.
That's right, Peter. And, you know, I'm so glad to know that you can make it through a door. I have to step at an angle. Just yesterday, as I was scaling the Griffith Observatory to get a good look at the weather and what's going on here in LA, what's that now?
No, I'm listening to you.
As I was scaling up the side of the Griffith Observatory to take a look, it's raining now, thankfully, for the first time in forever here in Los Angeles. People had to step out of the way, you know, when you get on the elevator and they smile at you and then look at the capacity sign. Anyway, enough with the wait. You're here to hear about the weight of the Oscars, which, of course, were, in fact, announced recently. And I reported that right here on this program, which was a great deal of fun. Emilia Perez, which is Netflix musical about a trans drug lord in Mexico, leads with 13 nominations. I didn't care for it, including the star Carla Sofia Gascon and Zoe Saldana for their acting, and Jacques Audiard for his directing, and nominations for Best Picture. Wicked and The Brutalist had 10 nominations each, including Best Picture, and Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande were nominated for their acting in Wicked for Best Actress and Best Supporting Actress, respectively. Adrian Brody, who plays the Jewish architect who immigrates to the USA after World War II, and The Brutalist, also, of course, were nominated. They're going to hold these on Sunday, March 12th. Conan O'Brien's going to host, and the officials at the Academy are saying, quote, "We'll celebrate the work that unites us as a global film community and acknowledge those who fought so bravely against the wildfires." It really sounds like a PR line to me, but of course there is a lot of sentiment here in Hollywood, Peter, that it shouldn't be so fancy this year because of all of this community that has suffered so much. And speaking of the suffering that they're having here, the rains certainly are helping. The rains have been light to moderate, but now, of course, we've got a flood watch in effect until Monday. 200,000 people are displaced as of the moment. Just quickly, the Palisades fire is 90% contained. That's 23,448 acres, 37 square miles, which has destroyed 6,837 structures up to now. 1,017 are damaged, and an additional 12,317 are threatened, even though the rains have stopped, and some of the fires are, of course, continuing to burn. When they say contained, what they really mean is that 90% is the amount of the perimeter that is contained to contain the fire rather than having it spread somewhere else. They've had 3 civilian injuries. 1 firefighter was injured, and 11 civilian fatalities. The sunny weather is supposed to come back Tuesday, but as crews prepare for repopulation in some areas, that's going to be a very slow process, and zones, of course, remain still in evacuation orders. The Eaton fire right now is 98% contained, 14,021 acres, that's 22 square miles, 9,418 structures have been destroyed, 1,073 structures damaged, and 55 structures are threatened. 9 firefighters have been injured in that fire, and 17 civilians have been lost. The damage inspection teams are completed now for the Eaton fire. 100% of all structures within the fire footprint, and the inspections are ongoing elsewhere. The recovery efforts, of course, being led by California Office of Emergency Services. Pets. There are, of course, pets in a situation like this that get lost. A happy story is 400 have been united. 100 strays still have to be matched up to their owners, according to the Pasadena Humane Society. Microchipping has been invaluable for the reuniting of these wonderful animals and their parents, their human parents. And, of course, the big concern now is landslides. Once the fires are out, half that hillside in Palisades could just slam right down into the ocean.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I was talking to a friend of mine who lost his home, and I know you know many more people who've gone through that. That's been a tremendously terrible thing because there's questions about insurance, there's questions about all these different things, and I worry about them. I have a question for you. Have we run out of musicians that we can do biopics on?
We could always go back into the past and do some from the Great American Songbook. And so in some cases, those things have been, there have been multiple biographies of those. Cole Porter was made into a movie biography with Cary Grant in the classic age, and then again by Kevin Kline in the 90s. So I don't know. I think there's always more you can mine for. And of course, there's certainly a lot of musicians that are more contemporary. If you've Timothy Chalamet movie on your mind with the Bob Dylan bio.
Now, I just look at these, and the Dylan movie was different, as you would expect for the Bob Dylan movie to be. But some of these pictures, some of these biopics have been sort of cut and paste, sort of predictable from moment one. And I'm part of me's thinking, can't we just come up with great original ideas and go out and produce them? But apparently this is selling, and obviously Hollywood's a business.
Hollywood is a business, and that's the answer to your question. It's also a business that's operated by people that are younger than you and I am and don't have a long history with their own business. I remember going into what used to be the MGM studios and asking the receptionist while I was waiting for an appointment, well, it must have been interesting when Clark Gable walked through here, and she looked at me with this deer in the headlights look, having no idea of that classic movie star of long ago. You know, you talk to kids on the street who are now pulling in CEO salaries, and they don't know a lot about the history. So what happens is they don't know enough about the business, but are in control of the purse strings. They're bean counters. They won't go out on a limb to get fired. So they have to play it close to the vest. And they say, okay, what have we done before that has made money? And let's just do that exactly the same way again. We just put different people in it. We dress it up in a different outfit. You give it a different director, and we do it again because it made money before. It'll make money again. And that's what's killing the originality. There are so many, Peter, unfinished scripts piled up throughout the offices in Hollywood that will never see the light of day because, you know, these bean counters look at it and say, why would anyone want to see that? We can't tie it in with merchandising. We can't tie it in with a franchise that we've done something with before. But look at the danger of franchises. The whole Marvel comic book thing has really crashed and burned in a way they didn't hope for. And hopefully they may recover. There's another Marvel movie coming out in a couple of months, and hopefully get some money out of that. But it's been real tough.
It's Matthias Boom Boom Hollywood. This is Sterling Every Damn Night. I'm Peter Thiel in for Walter M. Sterling. I look at obviously how Hollywood is going out and presenting movies, and obviously people are going in. I was writing a column for one of the other things that I do, and it's kind of a stark thing about the attention span of millennials and Gen Zers. Millennials' attention span can be 12 seconds long. These people are now in their 40s. Where Gen Zers have an attention span that averages about 8 seconds. And it's the idea of making film, making radio, making music, whatever that is, to catch the attention of these emerging leaders of our society is obviously something that we as people in entertainment are going to have to struggle with and are going to have to adapt and learn to do. And it's fascinating doing the studying.
Well, it's remarkable. I think young people have different brains than you and I. They've always been surrounded by multiple images they have to choose from and process. You know, I grew up where you watched a movie or you did something with intent. You were looking at multiple things at the same time. So I think they're just wired differently, and they can look at a 3.5 second TikTok video, which they don't even complete. The story isn't complete. It's just like half of a moment of action, and somehow that relates to them. I can't figure it out. There's not enough context to make it make sense.
It really does. Matthias Boom Boom Hollywood, how do people reach you, and where's your website? What's your thing so people can follow you?
Find me on Facebook at Matthias Bumballs Hollywood. That's M-A-T-I-A-S-B-O-M-B-A-L, Hollywood, like the city. That's M-A-T-I-A-S-B-O-M-B-A-L, like the city, Hollywood. That's Bumballs Hollywood. Or mabhollywood.com. I thank you, Peter.
Thank you very much. And that is our buddy, Matthias. You're listening to Sterling Every Damn Night. I'm Peter Thiel, right here along the great radio stations that we are on, coast to coast, border to border. It's a wonderful time to be able to speak with you, and I want to talk about one of the I witnessed a soul-crushing exercise, and I want to share that with you. It's coming up next, right here on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Gaffneys, meet the Gaffneys. They live in a 150-year-old house. They've got 8 kids. We don't have time to name them all. Sometimes Dan and Becky like to bicker, and it's always good for a snicker when you're with the Gaffneys. You know it's Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. It's Sterling every damn night.
I'm Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
We're here to tell you about life with our eight kids living in our old house. With eight kids, you do have some advice to give. But how do people take it when you just walk up to them and start giving it unsolicited?
Okay, so that kind of makes it sound like I'm this pushy lady who was walking up and giving this woman advice because I think I can do things better than she can. And it actually was the exact opposite. So sometimes when you see a new mom, you see people hovering over her, like thinking they know what's best and trying to push this on them and push that on them. And you should be feeding the baby this way. And this is what you should be doing. And that's kind of what I witnessed. And so my advice to her is not to walk up to her and say, this is how you should feed your child. And this is how you should put your child to sleep. My advice to her was to trust herself, that if she wants help from other people to get it, but to not rely on other people because they've been a parent before her to know how to parent her own child.
So your unsolicited advice really was, don't take unsolicited advice.
That's kind of what it was. And I don't mean that you can't take advice from people and you can't lean on people, because you absolutely have to do that. But what I said to her was, you don't have to listen to somebody who says they know better than you do because they've parented before. We all started our parenting journey at ground level. If you've never been a parent before, you've never been a parent before, point blank. It doesn't mean that you haven't been around kids, you don't know how to raise kids, you don't know what to do with kids. When you start your parenting journey, it's basically new, as new for you as it is for your new baby. So my advice is, if you want help, reach out for it. But if somebody comes up and gets in your face and tells you how to parent and what to do because you're doing it wrong, maybe they never did it right in the first place.
So what would be your quick list advice for new moms?
My advice would be, trust yourself, trust your gut, survive. You don't have to thrive. You don't have to do all the things, be perfect. You don't have to look pretty. You don't even have to take a shower. If that's the top of your priority list, do it. But if the top of your priority list is to sit there and learn about your new baby and be with your new baby and figure it out together, that's what you do.
Translation, ignore the pushy mother-in-law. Follow me on Facebook, Dan Gaffney Show.
And if you're looking for me, you can find me on Instagram as Just Being Mom.
Dan and Becky, Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every night, inspired by Worthless Podcasts.
Hey guys, here's a couple tricks to help you when you're growing tomatoes this year.
My name is Peter Thiel. It's Sterling every damn night. Walter has Sunday night off. He asked me to be with you, and that's awesome. So today, pre-football game, the first football game, I realized I was missing something that's very important for any football watching experience. I was missing some sort of chips. And so I ran to Walmart to get some corn chips because I had some salsa. And I figured, you know what, that'd be really good. So I arrive, I go into Walmart, and I see a guy wearing his Washington Commanders hat. And this is about 15 minutes before kickoff. I mean, I, like, at the last minute, ran to go and get that. And his wife was going through the deodorant aisle. And instead of just grabbing whatever, something that says deodorant, she was busy inspecting the labels on all the deodorants. And this woman was snatching the soul from her husband. This poor guy, you could see the look on his face. It was painful. You'd have to think the only thing that would be the same is that the Grim Reaper shows up and is ready to touch you and steal your soul, except it's in the deodorant aisle at Walmart. It was completely and utterly one of the most depressing things that I have seen in an awful long time. I felt sorry for this poor guy, and part of me wanted to see if I could get him out of it. see if I could help him escape, where he could leave the keys for his wife, and I could just drop him off at his home. I would have volunteered to do that. But that's me. It's women folk. Football is your man's love language. Let him enjoy it. Let him delight in football. Football is what we're about. So, no matter what they say, no matter what they do, it's football Sunday. And you'd think this guy's wife would have had this figured out by now. Is sacrosanct. That is a time for the husband to go and watch football. There are other times where he can go with you to the deodorant aisle as you read the labels. Why? It's I get the same deodorant. It's strong. Keeps my pits from smelling. It's a win. It's a big, huge win. I love my deodorant. I get the Old Spice Classic, and a classical, the type of deodorant my grandfather used, and probably the reason why I'm here. It's my love of that deodorant. Sometimes I'll switch it up and I'll get Brute. I'll get the Brute occasionally, but I only like the. I don't like the thing that's like talcum powder. I want the gel. The complete gel. That's what I want. My name is Peter Thiel, and I'm here for Walter M. Sterling. Sterling every damn night. Coming up, we have all sorts of good stuff coming in. I have done extensive
Walter
show prep,
M.
especially
Sterling.
For you on Sterling every damn night.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of no good deed goes unpunished when you lend another cop money. Coming up in moments on Sterling Every Damn Night.
More news, more news. Day and night around the clock, it's your news. You get it all when you set your dial to Sterling Every Damn Night. Sterling Every Damn Night. Sterling Every Damn Night.
My name is Peter Thiel, and I'm in for Sterling Every Damn Night. I'm here with you because Walter needed the night off. He called me late last week. He said, Peter, could you sit in for me on the nationally syndicated Sterling Every Damn Night? And I said, absolutely, I can. I can do this. So there's been something buzzing on the internet, and I don't know if there's anything to this or not. Michelle Obama did not show up to Jimmy Carter's funeral and also for the inauguration. And she basically said she didn't want to be around Trump. Okay, that's fine. She doesn't have to do that. That's petty, but okay. But the Jimmy Carter funeral thing was interesting because she said, I was on vacation. So a lot of married couples take separate vacations. I always find that kind of weird. You think they would want to be together. I think one of the problems that you have with any type of public marriage, where you have people who are driven, trying to make money, trying to do things, and the Obamas fit into this. Michelle Obama wants to become an Oprah-type character, and she hates Oprah. President Obama is doing Obama-type stuff. He's the slickest guy in the room, doing a lot of speeches, doing all the different things that he does. And they're working for Netflix, where they're producing wonderful films, which has anyone ever watched one of those? Have you ever watched one of those Obama documentaries? I want to know. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Sterling Every Damn Night. I'm Peter Thiel, sitting in for Walter M. Sterling. So you have two people who have a certain amount of ego. Republicans for a long time have thought that Michelle Obama is going to run for president. She has no desire for that. Absolutely 0.0. She hates the idea of being in that type of fishbowl. She likes the idea of hanging out with celebrities. She likes the idea of being a guest on a talk show. She likes the idea of having someone help her write a book, which is probably their words, and she makes money off of it, and they make money on the side. But Michelle Obama, in one of her, I think this is her autobiography, said there was like a 10-year period where she hated her husband. That's not a good sign. That's not a good sign at all. And people have rough patches in their relationships, whether it be marriage, work life, friends. I have friends that I have sort of fallen out with over time. And eventually we start talking, and all the things that we like about each other come out, and the thing that ticked us off about each other goes by the wayside. And a lot of times that happens. In marriage, is the same type of thing. You're in a relationship, and especially this type of pressure, trying to go through there. And the cool thing about the Obamas, unlike most people, they have like three homes. So technically, they don't have to see each other. So whatever that rough spot is, if they have to take a little time apart, that's fine. And I think that makes all the sense in the world. Michelle Obama not arriving to Jimmy Carter's funeral, I think, was the big thing. I get it. She doesn't like Trump, doesn't like Melania. That's fine. It's weak in my mind, but it's America. You don't have to like everybody. But the idea here of not showing up to a former president's funeral, and you're a first lady who was first lady for 4 years, or for 8 years, I should say, seemingly you should be there. It's a small fraternity. The presidency of the United States is a very, very small fraternity. These people are an unusual group of individuals. Whether you agree with Donald Trump or disagree with him, or Obama or Biden or Bush, these guys are, and President Clinton, these guys are in rarefied air. And you have to go and have the discussion of being there for each other. It's such a small fraternity, you wouldn't want to miss out on that. And it's not like you're spending a week with these people. Have you ever had to spend a couple of hours, you know, maybe a day with, you know, maybe a coworker that you can't stand? And all of a sudden you're on a team with them in one of these team building things that they make you do. And you have to go and you have to work as a team with someone you can't stand. Or you have to work, and this is probably even worse, you have to work in a team with someone who hates you at the job. I've had to do those things. Those are not pleasant things to do. Those are not pleasant things to do at all. But that's life. So the idea Michelle Obama couldn't drag herself away from Hawaii to fly to D.C., for 3 days to be at Jimmy Carter's funeral, I find kind of weird. Now, let's hope they don't get a divorce and they have children, even though the children are adults. But I think anytime parents get divorced, whatever stage of life their kids are in, I think it's a very difficult thing for the kids. Because I think that, in fact, sometimes I think that people who keep the marriage together and divorce after the kids are out of the house, that sometimes that can even do more damage to the kids. You know, if they can't work it out. and people sometimes just can't work these things out. So those are my thoughts. If you have an idea, 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. My name is Peter Thiel. This is Sterling every damn night. Every damn night we're here. It's awesome. And Walter will be back next week, and I look forward to it. We have a Super Bowl, everybody. It's going to be the Philadelphia Eagles, go Birds, versus Chiefs Nation, Kansas City Chiefs. That's going to be awfully fun. 2 weeks from today, it'll be an awesome time. You are listening to Peter Thiel for Walter M. Sterling on Sterling Every Damn Night.
On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to talk a little bit about getting assigned a partner. So early in my NYPD career, I was in a unit and I was assigned a new partner. And I was a young cop, about 25 years old, and I was assigned a guy who had 10 years on the job. He was in his mid-30s. He had a wife and kid, and he had a house in upstate New York. And unlike a lot of the veterans I had worked with earlier that had no use for me, he was very nurturing. He was just a great guy. He was helpful, and I got along with him really well. Well, it got around the holidays back then, before direct deposit, guys would get their check and they would either go to a check cashing place or they would go to their bank when they got home. Well, he went, it was just before Christmas, he cashed his check and he went to the local shopping center to buy some Christmas presents for his family. The following day, he came into work, and I could tell there was a problem. I go, what's wrong? And he says, you're not going to believe this. He goes, last night, I was out Christmas shopping. When I went to pay for a gift, I went into my wallet. It was gone. I says, where do you think you lost it? He goes, I'm pretty sure I got my pocket picked. I go, well, how much did you lose? He goes, $1,500. And I couldn't believe it. I felt terrible for the guy. His family was going to go without. So I got a hold of my sergeant and another cop, and I said, what do you say we each kick in $500, we float him alone? So he said, yeah, we can do that. So we gave him $1,500 as a loan, and he says, oh, guys, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Don't worry, I'll have you guys all paid by March. We said, no problem, we understand you got a mortgage. Well, March rolled into June, and this guy doesn't say a word about the money. And he gets promoted sergeant to boot and leaves the precinct. So we're sitting there scratching our heads, and what happened to this guy? So one day I run into him on the train, a chance encounter, and he sees me, and this is like 2 years after. He goes, Vic, don't worry, I feel so bad, I'm going to pay you guys back. I says, I was going to ask, it's only 2 years. He goes, no, don't worry about it. Okay. 15 years go by, and I'm starting to hear rumblings that he's got a gambling problem and quite possibly he lost his house. So I'm saying to myself, that's the end of that money. So I retire and I go to a retirement party for this lieutenant, and who's there? And then 15 years have gone by, and he sees me, and I can tell he's got that look like, oh my God. And he comes up to me, goes, hey Vic, how you doing? I says, I'm doing good. And he goes, listen, I know I owe you that money. Don't worry, I'm going to pay you back. And I said, Rob, 15 years have passed. You showed me who you are. Don't worry about the money. We really don't have anything else to talk about. So as you can see, cops, like everybody else, can get into trouble with money. So for more behind-the-scenes NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD, Presumption and Dysfunction.
Sterling Every Damn Night, inspired by the truth.
The real reason why women lead more happier lives than men is most of them don't have wives.
My name is Peter Thiel. I am in for Walter M. Sterling. Sterling Every Damn Night, right over your radio, or maybe you're listening online. And I love it. We've been talking a little bit about this quote-unquote rumored problems in paradise with the marriage of Barack and Michelle Obama. there's a couple of things that I really believe that you, two people, big egos, trying to follow up with whatever their presidential careers are. Michelle Obama loves hanging out with celebrities, loves the idea, I think, of these little self-help books she's doing. That's great. Obama's doing Obama stuff. And apparently they're a little bit of, shall we say, they're in a rough patch. And people have rough patches. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's just the nature of life. We as people, we have, in any type of relationship, there's always an ebb and flow to it. And there are times, I know when I was married, my former wife and I got along great, and times we didn't get along great. And that's, I think, for every relationship, because you begin to hate the way the person chews their food, right? So the crazy rumor here, and completely unfounded, is that Barack Obama is having a fling with the wonderful actress Jennifer Aniston. She denies this. She says this isn't happening. This is nuts. Completely nutso. Barack Obama this last week went and ate dinner alone at an eatery in D.C. Okay. That was a message. That was a message flown out. Because he was in D.C. He has all sorts of friends in Washington, D.C. That was a message. He also could have had food delivered easily. Secret Service could have picked up food for him at any moment. So obviously there's something going on here. And let's hope they figure it out, and I'm sure they will. I'm sure that they seem like wonderful people, politics notwithstanding. And you always hate the idea of anybody, and I'll just tell you, if you've gone through a divorce, not that fun. If you've gone through a divorce, it's not that fun. And the assets they have would make it just crazy. Absolutely nutso. So let's hope they sort of figure it out. But this is not an unusual thing. People, again, have those issues. And my hope is that whatever's going on here, that they're able to talk through it and work through it, especially with Michelle wanting to become like an Oprah Winfrey self-help character. Someone sent me a link, this is probably about 2 or 3 months ago. Michelle Obama has written a new self-help book. And the self-help book, basically, one of the things that it says for you to do every morning is look in the mirror and tell yourself something good about you. Okay. Our problem in our society is probably too much self-esteem. We need to be thinking of others first. That's my opinion, my thinking on it. But hey, there's a lot of people who buy that. There's a lot of people who sell a lot of books saying, you're pretty damn good. Tell yourself something cool in the mirror. Instead of reflecting on what can I do better today? How can I be a better person today? Just tell yourself how wonderful you are. I always find that to be a little bizarre. A little bizarre. Because you want people to be honest, right? You want people to go out and say what is on their mind and be honest. And if you're lying to yourself, there's no greater lie you could ever say than the one you tell yourself. And that is something that we have to understand and pay real attention to. So coming up, I don't know if you've ever done this. Have you ever thought about your personal demise? And I'm not talking about in like a negative way, but at some point, we're all going to die. Our time will come to an end. And there was a woman in Ohio who died. Very, very bizarre sort of death. And I'm going to share this to you because it's one of the most frightening things ever. Totally frightening. And it could happen to almost anyone. And it was purely accidental, and it had to be excruciating for this
Walter
wonderful woman.
Walter M. Sterling.
Sterling every damn night. Inspired by medieval history.
Lance isn't a very common name nowadays. But in medieval times, people were called Lancelot. Lancelot. Ooh!
Public Shame Radio! Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night.
The Ohio Players, everybody. This is Peter Thiel. I am in for Walter M. Sterling. Sterling every damn night. And we've all contemplated at one point or another our own mortality. And most of us have the dream that it's we're surrounded by family and friends as we say goodbye and go meet our maker, whatever your religious faith may be. Okay. Woman in Ohio let her dog out to run the backyard. Her name was Eugenia Michelle Wadman. Wadman. She was 43. So she went outside. It was snowy, temperatures in the mid-20s, wind blowing, cold, chilly. And she fell and died of exposure. That's not the way I want to go. That's not the way I want to go at all, and I don't think most of us would. But I also think that we have to look and realize and use these circumstances of people's passing as a cautionary tale for us to follow. Yeah, you're going outside in winter, it's snowing and stuff like that, even for a brief second. Yeah, put on a coat. Probably a helpful thing. Wearing light jammies outside, it's a bad thing. I hate it when I go to the store and there's somebody in their jammies. Drives me nuts. Well, this is a woman walking her dog or letting her dog run outside. She fell, injured herself, and couldn't get up the steps because it was icy and snowy on the steps. There you go from there. The other little note here, for those of you who live in northern climates, is shovel your steps and throw some ice on it, or throw some salt on the ice. That is the key way. This is not a good way to go. Not a good way to go at all. And if I was going to think of horrific ways to die, this has to be on top of it. The other one is, I grew up in the upper Midwest. I grew up in Minnesota. And my parents were always on us about walking on ice on a lake or a pond in the winter. And I learned that lesson. There's one of my childhood friends who lost his father falling through the ice. It's a horrible way to go. But my dad gave me the full thing of the whole ice thing. Don't go anywhere where you don't see cars have already traveled on it. It was really sort of a helpful deal. Because sometimes when you get on lakes, lakes have areas that are always a little bit weaker because, oh, there's springs that are feeding fresh water into that lake. They also may have a place where it's an overflow area where extra water goes into a creek, and sometimes there's a little dam set up. Well, the ice around there is not very good. Sometimes the ice around bridges not very good at all. So you have to be really, really careful. And I learned that lesson. And I've driven my car on ice, but I just follow where people have gone. It's a fairly, you know, routine thing to do. And especially if you're out there doing the ice fishing, which is awesome. This time of year, it's, you know, let's just say that you're up in the northern climes on a lake and it's 5 below outside and you and your buddies are in the, you know, in the fish house there and you have it all set up. You have heat in there. You have adult beverages. Perhaps you're smoking a cigar and you're trying to catch a walleye or a muskie or a, you know, or pike, northern pike. That's a great time to be out there and hang out with the guys, you know, for like 3-4 days. But you got to be careful. Yeah, it's going on from there. So take that as a helpful thing for this poor woman in Ohio. When you go outside, be properly dressed. Make sure your steps have been shoveled. Steps aren't that big of a deal to shovel. It's even if you have a lot of steps, it's like a 10-minute deal. Get closed up, go out and do this. This ain't the way you wanna check out in life. Not the way you want to check out at all. You're listening to Sterling Every Damn Night. My name is Peter Thiel. I also want to talk about something else I hate. And I'm a gentleman of Caucasian heritage. I'm a white guy, and whenever I am at a wedding, a bar mitzvah, I'm at the club, enjoying a bottle of bub, hanging out, there's something that happens with white people. It's not a good thing either. It's called line dancing. And it's an evil practice, especially you see line dancing, by the way, at a variety of clubs. But the country people, they're all in on the line dancing. They love themselves, the line dancing. And I think it's just goofier than heck. I just look at people line dancing and I'm going, really? And it seems to be something white people do. Something only white people do. I think I've seen some people of different ethnicities do the Macarena when that was a big thing. But yeah, it's, I don't care what you think on these things. Watching white people dance alone is not a good thing. Not a good thing at all. I hope that, in fact, and who knows, President Trump has been signing a lot of executive orders. I hope that one of the orders he signs is banning line dancing. I think it would be strong. I think that's why America has come to exist. Line dancing, I think, has become sort of a habit. No one knows why they do it. No one understands why they're line dancing. It's just something everyone does. And people pretend like it's fun. Nothing fun about people dancing by themselves. Nothing fun at all. It's a group of 50 people all dancing with themselves in unison. It's bizarre. So that's one of the things. I'm going to give you something about social media coming up. Social media has a downside. And it's a big downside. And it's something you may not have contemplated before because you're not a drug dealer. And if you are a drug dealer, well, coming up, I have an inside tip. You're listening to Sterling Every Damn Night. My name is Peter Thiel. 855-839-1210 is the number. 855-839-1210 is Sterling Every Damn Night.
Now, John.
Hey, the drum set said when he fell off a cliff? But he probably said ouch too. It probably hurt a little.
Sterling and Knight, inspired by Jenna Kim Jones.
I told my husband he could no longer watch Hallmark movies with me this year. Because he's always asking stupid questions. Like, haven't we seen this one already?
I have a sad story to tell you. It might give you a bit of a fright. But now when you put on your radio, it's Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. Put on the radio and turn out the light. When Sterling worked for the network, his Brooks Brothers suit really fit. But his bosses decided to fire him when they got tired of all his Sterling. Every damn night, put on the radio and turn out the light. Then Sterling became a consultant. He'd make your radio station a hit. But now that he's no longer engaged, those stations all sound like Sterling. Every damn night, put on the radio and turn out the light. Now Sterling's back on the radio. The kids say his show's really lit. And if any program directors don't like it, it's just because they're all full of Sterling. Every damn night, put on the radio and turn out the light.
Walter, and he'll be back next weekend as Super Bowl is all set. We got your Chiefs versus Eagles, and which is the one we wanted to see, right? That's the one. So, social media. A lot of times people go on these exorbitant vacations, and they put pictures up during their vacation, them doing wonderfully glamorous things. And a woman was doing this. A lovely lady, and very, very pretty. And her name is Estefania McDonald Rodriguez. Her husband is a Costa Rican citizen named Luis Manuel Picado Grijalba. And he's been living in Costa Rica and is wanted for drug dealing, international drug trafficker of mystery. The United States government's been after him for some time. Well, he went on this wonderful European vacation, and I'm guessing he had a fake passport. Didn't really say. But Mr. Grijalba was traveling in Europe with his wife and extended family. The wife had put up all these different things on social media that, ironically, the FBI was watching. Yeah, it's crazy. And the cool thing about Mr. Grijalba being in Europe is there's something called an extradition agreement. So he was arrested in London. By the way, he has a cool nickname. And if you're going to be a gangster, if you're going to be a drug dealer, you got to have a cool nickname. His nickname is Shock. S-H-O-C-K. Not Spock. Shock. And apparently that's what his cocaine was doing to people. Shocking them. All right. And he had been living in Limon, Costa Rica. And had been shipping the cocaine from there. And Costa Rica, there's a lot of people who live, a lot of Americans live in Costa Rica. And I don't think, maybe it is about the cocaine. I don't know. But that is a real big place for expats to go. I'm acquainted with a couple of people who live in Costa Rica, and they come back to the United States, you know, a couple of times a year to see family and friends. But they love it. They love the idea of the birds. They love the monkeys. They love everything about being in Costa Rica. They say you have to get used to the bugs, part of the deal. But no extradition type of thing in the United States. That protects drug dealers. And highly problematic. So they got this guy. He's probably going to do 100 years in jail. And someone will take his place. But his wife, you kind of want to think either she's really stupid or she wanted her husband picked up so she could get his money and go live the life she wants to live, not having to worry about him getting... I mean, she's totally free. She's got all this money. And my guess is because of the laws in Costa Rica is that she has access to a lot of this money. So it's awesome for her. And it's awesome to get these drug dealers off the streets. I'm hoping that we have this problem with fentanyl. And apparently fentanyl, I have a buddy of mine who's a cop. And he's worked in the drug task force of his city. And he was telling me that fentanyl is put into cocaine, it's put into meth, and it's put into heroin. So a lot of times people that, and he wasn't defending it, he said a lot of times people go in, they're ODing on the substance of their choice, and it's because it's laced with fentanyl. Yeah, lacing things with fentanyl is not good at all. So I'm glad this guy's off there. I have another buddy of mine who lost his son. Son in his early 20s, was at a party. Pills were being passed out, and I guess he found out that the son thought it was Molly, which is a popular party drug, which I've not done. I've not done Molly. Not done cocaine either. It's crazy. Give me a beer. I'm strong with that. Beer, bourbon, something like that. Tequila. So his son was at a party. They were handing out Molly. Turns out Molly was... that the Molly was laced with fentanyl. And his son OD'd and died. And that happens a lot. So getting a drug dealer off the streets is a pretty good thing, but obviously ending fentanyl and fentanyl abuse and taking care of that is a big deal. Coming up on Sterling Every Damn Night, I've got like a pile of really cool stuff that I haven't gotten to yet. I think it's time for us to uncancel the canceled. And I'm going to go through the list because I have a couple of people that are going to remain canceled. But I'm all about that. You're listening to Sterling Every Damn Night.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Sterling Every Night, lost in space. Mission Control, Texas.
Peter Thiel. I'm in for Walter M. Sterling. Always check out his website at WalterSterlingShow.com. And he is our UFO expert. And Dave Scott, this last week, President Trump, and one of his first things that he did was open up the files for the assassinations of JFK, RFK, and MLK. Why? I'm hoping he opens up the UFO files.
Well, many of us are. And the question is, will he? I mean, you know, it's funny, within minutes of President Trump posting on his Truth Social and X account that he was going to be releasing the JFK, RFK, and MLK files, Chuck Schumer actually put, so are the UFO files next? And look, there's a lot of people within Congress and within the Senate that want to have the UFO files brought out to the public. They feel there's an injustice going on and that the public, especially in this case, the American public, has a right to know. And Trump will not answer that one. And I have a theory for you why, Peter. It's because this involves trillions of dollars. This isn't just about saying that we've found life out in the stars. This is about the technology that has been recovered, the potential of non-human intelligence or aliens or extraterrestrials, whatever you want to call them, potentially being in the hands of the United States government, including the former head of the UFO program, UAPTF, which is now defunct at the Pentagon, a gentleman by the name of Jay Stratton, saying that he was an eyewitness to a UFO that had been captured by the U.S. government, as well as he had seen non-human intelligence. Now, this is coming out in a documentary next month, as most of the times this stuff does. But this is something that I don't think Trump will have the ability, even as president, to do. As rogue as he can be, I don't see the UFO files coming out.
115 is a big thing with people who are ufologists, because this is considered potentially maybe the fuel that allows alien spacecrafts to travel all over the place. Element 115, when do they... I want to know more about it. What can you tell me?
Well, Element 115, we first heard about it from the original whistleblower, a gentleman named Bob Lazar, back in 1989, who came out claiming that he worked at Area 51, and his program that he worked under was to try and reverse engineer some UFOs, one that he called the Sport model, which was your classic UFO disc-shaped flying saucer. And he said at that time that there was an element that was used in order to make it fly, and they called it Element 115. Now, Element 115 at that time was not even on the periodic table for the scientific community, and everybody laughed at him. But eventually, as time went on, it got rebranded as Moscovium Element 115. So we're not sure if that's actually something that was used, because Moscovium is something that is very highly explosive, shall we say. It's a very loose model of an element that is not very controllable and very hard to produce. We don't know if that's what's powering these ships or not.
Yeah, I'm fascinated to look at this. It is obviously, we are in a time where we realize that there are planets throughout our universe, but also the other universes, that very well could be basically be home to being something like us.
And that's the reality of it. And the question is, if there is, which I do believe there is, do they have the technology to get here? Now, look, we have been watching the SETI program, which is a subsidiary of NASA, for the last 50-plus years, sending signals out into space. And outside of the WOW signal back in the late 70s, early 80s, they have not received, allegedly, any signals whatsoever. Now, where is this? Where is NASA on this? I mean, they did the BS UFO report that they put out $100,000 for last year, claiming that they had no knowledge of anything, yet they have considerable amount of astronauts and test pilots who have come out and stated that they have seen these beings, these craft, while they've been flying, including, if you remember, the old X-15 rocket jet, where one of the pilots was up at 315,000 feet above planet Earth, and he claims that there was a UFO right beside him, including there is recorded audio of this. So the cover-up is real, people. I mean, whether you want to believe in this subject or not, there is a major cover-up. Use your curiosity side and go look at the cover-up. The evidence is truly there.
Yeah, my look at this is that you have professional astronauts and pilots. These are trained observers. I am not. If I see something go across the sky, I would not necessarily be able to tell you that's normal movement or whether that's a UFO or not. But these people are astronauts or fighter jet pilots, etc. They know what different stuff looks like.
Well, what they don't know is what is the secrets of the U.S. government. I mean, back in 1992, a gentleman named Ben Rich, who was the head of Lockheed Skunk Works, said something, made a couple of quotes that were very, very ominous at the time. Number one, he said, "We've already got the technology to get E.T. home again." And the second one that he claimed was that the United States at that time was about 50 years ahead of where people today, like you and me, are actually seeing in flight and technology. Now, we can see that now with the stealth programs. Okay, I mean, you look at the United States military, they've had the stealth perfected since the early 1960s with the U-2 and SR-71. You look at Russia, you look at China, it's only been the last 15 years or so where they've actually developed stealth technology. And what I'm hearing is places like Lockheed Skunk Works are close to 100, 150 years ahead of where we are right now. So even though the military and astronauts are trained observers, they're not going to be familiar with what technology is flying out of places and secret bases like Area 51.
I think that makes all the sense in the world. Dave Scott, how do people get a hold of you to learn more about the great stuff you do?
We're always at spacedoutradio.com, and I really appreciate it, Peter, if everybody took the time to go to our YouTube channel, Spaced Out Radio, and hit subscribe and ring that bell. We're there 7 days a week.
Excellent. Dave Scott, thank you very much. You are listening to Sterling Every Damn Night. My name is Peter Thiel. I am your guest host. I am the fill-in, the appointed fill-in for this evening's broadcast. And coming up, I want to uncancel some canceled people. I want to show a little grace and forgiveness, and maybe you have someone to add on to that list. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. You're listening to Sterling Every Damn Night.
Now! Lesbians in space.
La, 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 lesbian hair. Perfectly styled lesbian hair. Oh, I wish I could have been there to see that perfect lesbian hair.
Sterling Every Damn Night is fired by Alan Huggins.
As far as social media goes, you can follow me on the bulletin board at Kroger's or my chart.
My name is Peter Thiel, and I am filling in for Sterling Every Damn Night right here on the Love Network, where you can hear this amazing radio show. A couple of notes that I've been working on is trying to figure out who to uncancel. It was 8 years ago where all of a sudden the media, in trying to criticize Donald Trump, started canceling some of our greatest entertainers. And wonderful entertainers as well. You know, people like Louis C.K., Mark Halperin, Bill O'Reilly, the wonderful musician Marilyn Manson, Garrison Keillor, Matt Lauer, Harvey Weinstein, Bill Cosby, all were canceled. And Kevin Spacey, yeah, Kevin Spacey was on that list, being canceled because of quote-unquote alleged brutish behavior. And Harvey Weinstein and Bill Cosby, well, it seems to be pretty good there. It's and I'm not defending any bad behavior. But Is it time to allow these folks to come out of the shadows? Is it time for us to allow them to return to life? Louis C.K., an amazing comic. There was some spritzing going on. That wasn't good. Mark Halperin, the political writer, seemingly was writing books, was everywhere on TV. All of a sudden, he is gone. Bill O'Reilly is sort of now doing his own thing. Marilyn Manson, you know, I mean, my goodness, that fella is named after Marilyn Monroe and Charles Manson. You expect some malfeasances, right? You expect somebody like that maybe to be up to some no good. A Garrison Keillor, a Prairie Home companion, married to many Danish women. I think he's been married like 3 or 4 times, all to Danish women. He has a type. And he got hit up with probably the weirdest sexual harassment complaint of all time, where apparently he put his hand on an intern's back. Okay, yeah, keep your hands to yourself, Grubby McGrub Grub. Don't touch other people. That's usually a pretty good thing. But Garrison Keillor, all of a sudden, Prairie Home Companion's gone. That thing is over with. It was built around his writing, his artistry, his delivery. Gone. Absolutely gone. People even forgave that he was in that terrible movie directed by the amazing Robert Altman with Garrison Keillor and Lindsay Lohan were in that one. The Prairie Home Companion movie. This poor brand extension. Matt Lauer. I mean, Matt Lauer has been living in the wilds of the Hamptons, hiding away from people. For 8 years. 8 years he's been gone. America loved him. I think we do. We're forgiving people, aren't we? We're forgiving people. Now, Kevin Spacey, by the way, was accused of making unwanted touching of young men. Probably not. It's, don't touch other people. It's pretty good. Now, Harvey Weinstein, his court cases are all in the thing because some of them got thrown out because of prosecutorial misconduct. He doesn't seem like that good of a guy. That's just my thinking of that. And then, of course, Bill Cosby, he can probably remain canceled. And he's what? He's in his 90s? Is that how old Bill Cosby is? He's got to be, I'm guessing, right? It's let me look that up. Because I got something kind of neat here. I've got this magic machine called the Internet. And let me look that up. And he's 87. He's 87 years old. And by the way, from Philadelphia, go Birds. Eagles. Yeah, part of one of the Super Bowl teams. I saw a meme, by the way, online. It had a picture of Bill Cosby hosting a special on Bill Cosby talks to kids about drugs. And the thing that I follow, and you should follow as well, 70 Super Sports, said, probably not a good idea. And yeah, probably so. So there you go. So we have, though we canceled a lot of people, and there was no grace to it. There was no apology. There was no way to make it right. We've had people who've done bad things who are right back into society. we have people who have done terrible things that have been overcoming it. A perfect example is Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg at one time was accused of murder. He was found not guilty, but he was accused of it, of being involved in a murder. And that guy's on every TV commercial there's ever been. You turn on the NFL games today, and about half the commercials were either with Snoop Dogg or Patrick Mahomes. Completely overrun type stuff. And so, yeah, maybe we need to give a little grace and forgiveness. A little grace and forgiveness. Free them all. Allow them to come back to work. Allow them to come back and be a part of society again. I think that's good. The other thing we learned this last week is that I don't know what they're feeding Barron Trump. He is a really, really tall. He's like 6'7", 6'8". And when you saw how big this guy was, and, you know, Trump's not a short guy. He's 6'2". President Trump is, and I think that his boys are about the same height. Ivanka, I think, is fairly tall. And then I went and I looked up Melania's height. Melania's like 5'11". She's a tall drink of water. So it's so they're very tall people, and they have a very tall child. And I just, a buddy of mine said, you know what I did with my kids when they were like 15? I just took them to the buffet and let them eat for a couple of hours. You're listening to Sterling Every Damn Night. I'm Peter Thiel, right here for Walter M. Sterling.
Walter M. Sterling.
Sterling, every damn night, inspired by Daughter's Secrets.
Every family member has that one daughter that's expensive, that's mentally unstable, with anger issues, with a short temper, and that hates loud noises, but she's the loud one. Is that you?
Sterling every night, inspired by bad TikToks.
You both want my number?
Very much so, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm not a homewrecker.
We don't live together. It's an open relationship. Also, Patrick has a girlfriend.
I do not. Hey, come hang out with us later. They put you up at the hotel in Flushing, right? We're in room 206.
Want me to come suck you in?
No. We can just keep talking about tennis.
Good night.
Sterling every night. Study books, lusty books. Get cozy with the Owl and Dawn.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon. Let me tell you a late night story for Midnight Misfits. Here's an excerpt from my book, Blazing Justice. We took over one of the conference rooms with our multitude of boxes and folders. Less than a week before the beginning of the trial, I stood in there and tried not to become overwhelmed. Deep breaths, I reminded myself, as I thought about how this case was the most newsworthy event the town had seen in a long time. Though I tried to appear confident, I worried about being dragged too close to the center of the storm. Colin joined me, nudging a box away from the doorway with his foot. Let's finalize the order of our witness list, he said. We might as well get that out of the way before we start organizing the exhibits. We got to work, ignoring the departures of our colleagues and the darkening sky outside the window. I fetched a container of yogurt from the break room refrigerator and scarfed it down as a quick dinner. It looks like we even outlasted the cleaning crews tonight, I joked when I returned. He glanced up from the file in his hands. You can go home if you'd like, he said. I'm just trying to stay on top of everything so I don't feel rushed at the last minute. No, it's fine. If you're here, I should be too. I looked down at my feet and winced. Though, if you don't mind, I think I need to lose the high heels for the day. I stepped out of my shoes, shrinking 2.5 inches, and kicked them under the table. Colin laughed and unknotted his loosened tie, tossing it over one of the chairs. Anything else you need to get comfortable? I think I'm okay. Are you sure? I contemplated the question. Give me 1 minute. Slipping back out into the hallway, I looked up and down the corridor to make sure no one else was around. I reached up underneath my skirt and hooked my thumbs into the waistband of my pantyhose. When they slid off my hips and down my legs, I breathed a sigh of relief. Back inside, I tucked the discarded stockings into one of my shoes. Colin looked me up and down, and a smile crept over his lips. Better? He asked. Much. I rejoined him at one side of the table to survey our clutter. Almost every square inch of the surface was covered. I set aside the police reports we're using, he said. Next up is the medical examiner's report. I rummaged through the stack where I thought I'd last seen the document. Here, I said, passing the packet over. No, not this one. There's a highlighted copy somewhere. Oh, right. I think it's in the pile we were going through earlier. I reached over to the other side of the table, brushing across the front of Colin's body. He shifted to let me pass, which only resulted in trapping me between him and the heavy furniture. Startled by the realization of his close proximity and the warmth pressing against me, I froze in place. His hand rested on my waist. My heart raced, and I steadied myself with one palm on the table. The scorching imprint of his touch felt like it was going to burn a hole through my blouse. Is this really happening? I dared to swivel my head to the side. Steel-gray eyes met my gaze, hunger simmering within them. He moved closer, and my breath caught in my throat. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and you're listening to an excerpt from my book, Blazing Justice, which is available at Amazon and at thealandon.com. Have any blazing hot thoughts you'd like to share with me? You can always email them to me at smuttythea@gmail.com. Shall we keep going? Soft lips captured my mouth in a tender kiss. Surprised, I dropped the papers I'd been holding. His grip on me tightened as the gentle gesture became a more forceful exploration. I let his tongue probe into mine, and a rush of heat flooded through me. When I tried to turn toward him, I found I still couldn't move. He pulled his mouth away, but didn't step back to allow me to escape his grasp. Though unable to deny the exhilarating thrill of our illicit kiss, I was anxious about the possible consequences. Are you sure we... I don't know if... I can't... I whispered, glancing away. Colin steered my face back with a finger on my chin. Tell me to stop, Celeste, and I will. His deep voice rumbled through his chest, reverberating against my skin. Just know how long I've been dreaming about touching you like this. I tried to think through the tempest churning through my mind and body, but my heightened senses pulled me deeper into the lusty storm. His confession echoed in my ears, his musky cologne wafted toward my nose, and the remnants of our kiss lingered on my tongue. The potential dangers lost out to my desires. I needed more. I circled my hand around the back of his head and drew his lips closer to mine. His tongue plunged inside my mouth, and his arms enveloped me from behind. I wanted to touch him, return his embrace, but he still had me pinned against the table. His power over me was intoxicating, and I felt a tremble in my knees. Colin abandoned my mouth to kiss a trail to my neck. With one hand, he swept aside my hair and brought his lips to my earlobe. "You really are an exquisite woman," he murmured. Steamy breath feathered over my delicate nerves, and I shuddered. "Since the day you walked into this office, all eyes have been upon you." As he spoke, his hands roamed up and down my sides, from the coarse fabric of my skirt to the cream-colored silk of my blouse. His firm caresses across my torso both lulled me into a state of tranquility and further kindled my arousal. "I don't believe you," I said, leaning my head back against his shoulder. "You're the one everybody always talks about around here." His lips skated over the outer ridge of my ear, and he chuckled. "I won't lie, I've heard the gossip and the giggling," he said. One thumb grazed the underside of my chest, while the fingers of his other hand traced a line along my waistband. "But I only care about what you think." The hem of my blouse slid out of the top of my skirt. Anticipation coiled in my muscles, and I struggled for air. "Me?" I managed to squeak out. His hands slipped beneath my blouse, skin meeting heated skin. "How do you feel about me?" I squirmed underneath his provocative touch. "I've been thinking about you, too." "Just thinking about me?" he prodded. I should have known there was no escaping this line of questioning. I want you." That wicked laugh resonated in my ear again. "Good." Colin's palms skimmed over my stomach and rose to cup my chest. He kneaded my flesh through the lacy material and resumed kissing my neck. "A brilliant mind and a killer body," he said, as his hands manipulated me. "As soon as I saw you, I knew I had to have you. And you know I'm a man who hates to lose." The resulting sensations sent a jolt of electricity shooting through my body. He held me tight, not permitting me to move and seek out more of his touch. I braced myself on the table and choked back my first moan. He resumed his broad strokes over my skin, each one dipping a little lower. I tensed when he neared the top of my skirt again, and he laughed. Sharp teeth nipped at my earlobe while his fingers danced along the band of skin below my navel. Every part of me felt as if it was on fire, and I was sure he could sense the heat emanating from between my legs. Unfortunately, I think I need to stop here for tonight, but you know you can always have more. That was an excerpt from my book, Blazing Justice, which is available at Amazon and at thealandon.com. If you have anything you'd like to share with me, you can always send your thoughts to smuttythea@gmail.com. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon for Sterling Every Damn Night.
All across America, talk radio and the voices of freedom.
Don't stop talking, don't stop sharing. Don't stop laughing, don't stop caring. As long as you've got a voice, don't ever stop.
make our freedom shine longer.
Spread your love all around.
Build our friendships much stronger.
And make every moment profound.
Keep on making it better.
You gotta keep on making it fun.
Hold our nation together.
Keep on.
Stop talking, don't stop sharing, don't stop laughing, don't stop caring.
As long as you got truth, don't ever stop.
Turn us on, turn us in, and say hello.
We're talking about things you wanna know.
Spend a little time.
On your mind.
Climate change, damn it, Frank. That fail neck healthcare. War in the cemetery.
Don't ever stop.
Middle class abortion. IVF. Minimum wage. Nuclear weapons. Inflation. Price of freedom. The economy.
Interest.
The migrant crisis.
Ownership.
Russian Ukraine war. Mortgage tax.
Education.
Abortion.
Don't ever stop.
Alternative facts.
Middle East.
Conspiracy theories.
SCOTUS.
Don't ever stop.
What do you think?
A great way to end your day. Sterling every damn night.